Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And took care of business, had that four-run seventh inning, and got out of there with a W. I know when you go on the road, it's always good to get that win.
Yeah, no, it's a tough place to play. And, you know, wind was blowing straight in, and it just was one of those days it just felt off offensively. Both teams were really struggling to see it, and early on, you know, the pitching was dominant. But we were able to scratch those early runs to get that 2-0 lead, and then in the seventh inning we had some really, really good at-bats and able to extend that lead.
So Elliott was getting a lot of ground ball outs last night. You're talking about the wind blowing in. What, you know, if you had to, you know, describe your perfect outing for Tim Elliott, what would you say?
That's pretty close to it. You know, when you're getting ground balls, it means you're sinking it and you're down in the zone. So Timmy was down in the zone last night. He was throwing a lot of strikes. You know, he was perfect into the fifth. And, you know, he gave that walk up, and then he had, no-hitter into the sixth. So, you know, he couldn't have been much better than that. He does have swing and miss stuff, but he trusted his defense last night. And, you know, we were talking about it after the game as a staff. I mean, there were six or seven really, really good plays by the infield just defensively that they made him look easy, but they were far from routine. And our defensive infield is so good, and they really helped us out last night.
When Elliott's doing what he's doing, do you sit there and you're in the it felt like it was 6 or 7-0. It was only 2-0. But as the head coach, are you and Coach Kenny thinking like, all right, he's on a pitch count, but he's also throwing a no-hitter? You know, what are you thinking as far as how long you want to let him go?
Well, once he got past the fifth, you know, the original plan was maybe 3 or 4, and then use the rest of the bullpen to try to get through it. But he was so good, and every win's a win. So once he got past the fourth, we just made the decision, you know what, we're winning this game, and we're going to keep him out there. So if he's no hitting through six, he goes out there for the seventh, and then we kind of play it by ear. His pitch count was still pretty low, but you know that's the tough decision for a coach. It's a good problem to have. But it's one of those that I always think about, and almost came true this opening weekend with Emerson Hancock this year, when you know he's got a no hitter, he's on a strict pitch count, and I think I told you guys afterwards, you know, at 90 pitches he was coming out. If he had a perfect game, he's coming out. I might have taken some booze from the stands. But bottom line is you got to protect those arms. And Timmy last night, you know, we were thinking at the most 90 to 95. And he would have probably gotten there through seven. And if he's no-hitting, then he might go out for the eighth. But that was a decision that would have been a nice problem to have.
Well, you're at the point in the season now where these guys are all stretched out to 90 or 100 pitches, right? So that's not a huge deal.
No, not a big deal at all. And you'll see, I think the most any of our starters have thrown this year is 94 pitches, I think. That's Emerson threw 94 2 weeks ago at Statesboro. So these guys are ready to go over 100, and you know the weather warms up a little bit. Their arms are in great shape. We try to take really good care of them, especially early on in the season. We need them healthy in May and June, and so I think when you look at, you know, guys that are going out there throwing 100 plus pitches on opening weekend or the first two weekends, those guys have a really good chance of wearing down when you get April, May, and June, and our goal is to make sure that we're really strong when we get there.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Coach, heading into this weekend, looking at the weather and stuff, it looks like you could be in for possibly another doubleheader one of those days, which is something that Georgia baseball has gotten pretty good at this season. South Carolina has not played a doubleheader yet. What kind of advantage does it give you guys, having played one pretty much every weekend to this point?
None at all.
None at all.
We all hate them. Nobody loves doubleheaders. You know, Ernie Banks said, let's play two. But, man, I'd rather play one and spread them out over 3 days. It's a long day. It's a grind. We would rather play a single game. Looking at it, well, as you guys were talking, I kind of looked it up. here in the office, and it looks like that storm's going to roll through there between kind of noon and 4 on Friday. So I think we're going to be okay, knock on wood, to play Friday night at 7, and then Saturday and Sunday look good.
Yeah, so hopefully that storm that could be kind of nasty will be gone by then, and we can actually play a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. That would be kind of a weird thing. Well, getting back a little bit to last night, LJ Talley homered for you, and you know his stats right now. I mean, he's hitting like 460 or whatever. I mean, it's like we're 15 games in the season. He's hitting 460. I know when you get into conference play, it gets a little bit tougher, but he has just been unbelievable for you. And you talked about the defense that your infield has made, and every one of those guys last night had one or two great plays. But he had the one play, I think it was in the first inning, where he dove to his left and literally took a base hit away from one of the Georgia State guys. But LJ's just been unbelievable so far this year.
Yeah, he's played about as good as you can play, and really that's what we kind of expect from LJ. I mean, he's just gotten better every single year he's been here. He's worked so hard these last 2 years to become a more athletic player. He could always hit, but now he's just such a good athlete. And the range of his plays that he's made, we've seen him make that play to his left probably 3 or 4 times this year where it's a ball in the four hole, it's a base hit, and he dives out of nowhere, slides, gets to his feet, and makes that throw. And he kind of set the tone last night when he made that play in the first inning that kind of got everybody going. So, yeah, he's an awfully good baseball player. And, you know, we're fortunate to have him as a senior. He's going to be drafted this year. He's going to get his chance to play. I actually talked to a couple scouts on Tuesday when I was out watching games. And, you know, those guys really like him. He's probably going to be very similar to Keegan McGovern, has a chance to go in the top 10 rounds as a senior and start his professional career when we finish up this year.
Well, I was telling you this last night, and you may not think it's interesting just in the karma sense. That may not be something that's as big to you, but he had an at-bat last night where a pitch came in on him, and it hit – did it hit the knob of the bat? Is that what it did? It hit the knob of the bat. And it bounces back to the pitcher, and they throw him out. And it could have been one of those situations where he could have tried to act like he got or hit him in the hand or whatever, and tried to, you know, we see players do that where he could have tried to act like he'd been hit by the pitch and go into these theatrics. And he didn't. He ran it out, and they threw him out. And then what did he do on his next at bat? He hits that long home run. I just thought that was a good karma moment. I don't know him personally, but maybe that's just how he is. But I thought that paid off for him last night.
Well, I think his reaction was the natural reaction. His first thought was he's going to get hit by the pitch. It was up and in, and he kind of defended himself a little bit, and it hit squarely on the knob. I mean, it sounded like it hit the barrel. I mean, it was straight metal ting sound.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that it did hit nothing but the knob and the sound it made, I think just LJ's brain, the way it worked was, oh, man, there's no way I can fake that. if it would have hit his hand, he would have reacted. It did not get any of his hand. He chokes up a little bit on the bat, so that knob was exposed. It hit it solid. I don't know if I've ever seen one like that because it went, a two-hopper back to the pitcher.
Yeah.
And it was a straight knob shot, LJ just reacted the way I think we all did. He was a little bit surprised, and there was no way he could have pulled that off faking it.
Well, Coach, the rotation's going to look a little bit different this weekend, so give us the way you feel and how you're looking at going Hancock, C.J. Smith, and Losey in the games this weekend.
Well, Emerson and Losey have been so good, and putting those guys on the ends on Friday and Sunday and then putting CJ in between just gives a really good mix. And I'm not so sure how much of an effect that has on an opposition, but it is a lot different. You're going from, you know, 95, 96 to 89, 91 left-hander to 95, 96 right-hander again. So we're mixing it up. CJ's just a strike thrower. I mean, last night sometimes you see a starter go in and get an inning of work, and sometimes it doesn't turn out very well. You see it a lot with closers. They come in a 6-0 game because they need work, and they give up 4 runs because it's just not their element. Well, CJ came in last night, and I don't know if he broke a sweat. I mean, it just looks so easy for him. He's a strike thrower. He's a competitor. We know what we're going to get out of him. So we decided to put CJ into the rotation. Now we've got Proctor and Wilcox in the bullpen, along with Webb and Kristofak and Shunk. So we feel like our bullpen is in really good shape, and we really like our starters.
Coach, me and Dave were talking about this earlier. Obviously, you guys have played a lot of home games up to this point in the season, but you did go on the road and play in front of a pretty hot Georgia Southern crowd a couple weeks back. How well do you think that prepared this team to go on the road for SEC crowds with SEC play beginning this weekend?
Well, we talked to our guys about that. That's what that weekend is for. It's kind of an SEC primer. It's 3,000 people, a little bit hostile. They're getting after you, and a good team. So I think it prepared us. I think that we're going to have great crowds this weekend. Opening up SEC is always exciting. South Carolina, they're going to have 8,000 or 9,000 people there. The weather is going to be good, we think. So it's going to be a great crowd, and it'll be fun. Our kids are excited. But I think going to Georgia Southern, it does kind of help you just kind of get used to being away from home, being in a hotel, going through the routine that we have for them when we go on the road to get ready to play.
Not to get crazy and look too far ahead, what do you have for that for next year? Have you already gotten the schedule on what might be a opening road, or not opening, but a non-conference road series weekend?
Well, we're actually going to change things up. Breaking news, I don't know if we've talked about this publicly yet, but we are going to play Georgia Tech in a three-game series next year.
Really?
Yes, and we are going to do that just like Clemson and South Carolina.
Yes!
We're going to go home and home, and then the middle game on Saturday will be played in SunTrust. So it's going to be a three-game series, so both teams get to throw their ace pitchers on the weekend. And so that's going to be kind of our SEC primer. Well, we're going to play Georgia Tech, and we've got that scheduled for the next 2 years for sure, and we've got SunTrust secured to play. So the third weekend of the year next year, we will be playing Georgia Tech in a three-game series.
How about that?
Yep.
I love it. I love it. So, all right, is the Friday game in Athens?
You know what? We haven't gone that far
okay.
yet.
Okay.
To be honest with you, whoever is home in SunTrust this year will probably be the visitors next year, which means the home game would go to the Friday night. I think that's how we're going to do it. We haven't gotten that far
okay.
yet. But, yeah, we'll just alternate it every year, and we'll just probably use that SunTrust game. And off the top of my head, I don't know who's home or visitors this year. So we'll probably use that to determine who's home and who's away.
I know Jeff and I, you know, we've talked about that. We've, you know, you and I and Jeff have, you know, kicked that idea around. Did y'all consult with Clemson and South Carolina and just like how they liked it and how it had worked out for them and that kind of thing? And are there other rivalries around the country that do this?
We have talked to the Clemson and South Carolina guys about it, and they like it, and certainly the crowds love it. It's unbelievable the amount of people that go to those games, and you know we may be able to set a record at SunTrust to be able to do that on a Saturday afternoon. It's going to be in early March. We've got to do it. The ACC plays their first conference series in weekend four. We do ours in weekend five. So the latest we can play it is weekend three. So the thing you worry about, obviously, is the weather. And if all you get a really bad weather day, it's going to be tough. But if you get a nice day in early March on a Saturday afternoon at SunTrust, when people are dying for the Braves to start up again, I mean, we could go 30,000 plus. And that's what we're hoping for. And, you know, it's just something we've talked about for the last couple of years. And getting SunTrust and the Braves on board was going to be the biggest issue, because they got to worry about their field being ready for opening day in late March, early April. And they were cooperative. They were all for it. And it's still going to be for Children's, you know, the Hospital of Atlanta. We're still going to the Healthcare for Atlanta. So the charity's still there. And SunTrust is all in, so it should be a lot of fun.
That's great. And, you know, the thing is, if you do have bad weather, you got the whole rest of the season to try to make up a game or something like that, too.
Yeah, we would probably look to do that. And, you know, our rain day for SunTrust, that's the one thing that we've talked about. We may end up having the rain day on that Sunday. If it rains on Saturday, then we may play on Sunday at SunTrust and then make up whoever lost their home game on Sunday later in the year. So logistics still need to be figured out, but we have all agreed that we're going to do it. It's on the schedule for next year, and that should be a lot of exciting baseball there.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for breaking that here with us. We do appreciate it, and that's very exciting. Before we let you go, since every team in the SEC, it seems like, is ranked in the top 25, or at least what, 11 of the 14. There's no off weekend, so going to South Carolina, you mentioned their fans, and they've got a great environment and a great stadium. Oh, they also have a pretty good team, too, so what are we going to look at pitching-wise from them?
Well, you know, they've got a couple freshmen on the mound that are going to start for them, and they lost their number one starter a couple weekends ago at Clemson. It was just kind of a freak thing. On his land foot, he threw a pitch and just looked uncomfortable and ended up having a fractured foot. So I don't know how it happened, if he had a history or whatever with injury on that foot. So their number one guy is out, but they've had some two freshmen step up and been pretty good. And I think the biggest key for us is trying to get into the bullpen because Carey, who had been closing for them, is now starting. So their bullpen has been shortened because of this. They took one of their main bullpen guys. It'd be like us taking Kristofak or Ryan Webb, and all of a sudden he's starting, and that really kind of depletes your bullpen a little bit. So the key for us is to do a good job on those starters to try to get into the bullpen and thin those guys out as the weekend goes on.
Well, Coach, great start to the season. And, man, it's unbelievable how quick SEC play gets up on us. Best of luck. Look forward to seeing you guys over in Columbia this weekend. And we'll look forward to a great weekend against the Gamecocks. Thanks so much, and best of luck coming up.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Georgia Coach Scott Strickland.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.